Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before prepared that we should walk in them. 1 Thessalonians, please, and chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse number 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Now, yesterday, we were looking at James chapter 4. And we were thinking about a man planning his life. He was looking at the when and the where, and the how and the what to do, and the outcome. And he got it all planned out, step by step. And basing everything on past success, he was looking forward to the future with absolute certainty. And there was no variation in his thoughts. That's what he wanted to do. But we found indeed that James has to say, now whereas you ought to say. And then we get that initial planning set aside. And we are brought face to face with spiritual planning. And it's of a different nature altogether. It starts off with, says, if the Lord will. So God is right at the beginning. God's purpose and God's plan is there. God has a purpose for every one of us. God's plans are set out in his mind. We read there in Ephesians chapter 2 that God has good works in mind for each one of us. God created us. God, previously, we had no spiritual existence. We were dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins. But God made us alive. God indeed gave us a purpose. And that purpose is spelt out here, as it says, in good works. Imagine that we're walking through an ornamental garden. And we come to a beautiful lawn. And laid into that lawn are various stone steps. And you and I are encouraged to walk from one to the other, to get to the other side. And so we're looking down for one. And having lifted our foot off the one, we're looking for the other, and so on. And so we go through from step to step, walking in them. And you and I would be careful indeed here to look for the next step. We are told that God has created us for this very purpose. That indeed, if no doubt God had other purposes, if you and I, the moment we were saved, we could have been taken off to heaven. But God has left us here with a plan and for a purpose. And that purpose is good works. And God has pre-prepared them for us. God is opening out before us opportunities. And he's expecting us, however, to look out for them. And these good works we are seeking and would want to walk in them. But the great question is, what are they? What are they? How do I coincide my plans with God's plans? How do I know this? How do I know what these good works are? Of course, they won't be easy. They might be painful. But the inevitable end product is good works. And that's what we want to think about for a moment. But just to remind ourselves what we said yesterday, these are very important and serious matters. When James touches on them, he says at the end, you know, now I want to reflect and talk about your purposes in life. And he says, whereas without these proper plans, if you go back to your original kind of plans, where you'd work it all out for yourself, God never came into the question. God was never in the picture. You were planning everything yourself. And you were so boastful that this was good and proper and for your best. If you did this, he says, but now you rejoice in your boastings. Such rejoicing is, and as we said yesterday, it's not unfortunate, but sad. Oh no, says James, it's here. Evil, evil. And having told us the right way to plan, and having told us the right sequence of events, number one, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. It's all in his hands. Everything is prefaced with that. We're living in the knowledge that God has a purpose and will for each one of us. And we should indeed seek to fall in line with that. Now, God's will is of two kinds. I remember, as a young believer, one of the best things I was ever given was a Scofield Reference Bible. And I devoured it. And here indeed, I was, remember, even the details come back to mind. And one of the things it said was about the will of God. There are two kinds of the will of God. Number one, God has a permissive will. God will allow certain things to happen in my life. God chooses that. That is part of his will. And if he didn't want to, he'd stop it happening. But he allows things to happen. Secondly, there is God's directive will. God makes things happen. I found that so helpful. And as I want to expand on it in a moment. Here indeed, we're going to think about this will. Well, now says James, if you don't listen to what I've got to say, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and there's no better good than having this sequence of events. Number one, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. God comes first. And all my thoughts are prefaced with this. And all my plans have this at the beginning. If the Lord will. I'm seeking the will of God. I'm seeking to live with the will of God. Well, he says now, once again, very striking words. Having said that you're rejoicing without God is evil. Now he will say, now you know good. And if you don't listen to it, he that doeth it not, to him it is sin. Evil and sin. Now these are very striking things and should indeed remind us and sober us to this fact that here are matters that are important. God has left us here for a purpose and God has plans for us, and these are the most serious matters. For a young believer, yes. Here I am, a young believer in school. I've got choices to make as to subjects to take. Now these things will, in the long run, determine my life and maybe my usefulness to God. Make the wrong choice and you'll follow the wrong path. Here am I as a young believer, and indeed I'm thinking about a partner for life. And I'm wondering, well, do I go for outward beauty? That's fine but you know what we're looking for is inward spirituality. We're looking for a suitable partner and help meet for him. Or indeed for her. Suitable. That's what it says. Suitable. There's how so important. You know, I can think back of people, my contemporaries, and choices they made of partners, for partners. And how everything went disastrously wrong. And we as young people, well, we didn't know the principles of these things, perhaps, so well. And if advice had been sought for older people, then there we are. Very often we're out there in the land of India, or even in the land of Japan or South Korea. And weddings there, marriages there, are by arrangement. In India, it's by arrangement from the parents of the girl. In South Korea, if you come to marriageable age in the assembly, and you're a boy or a girl, young man, young woman, you will approach the elders. And you will say to the elders, will you please find a partner for me? And they'll get to prayer. And they'll seek one out. But you see, over here in the West, it's not like that. By the way, in Japan, it's the same. That you approach some dear brother who you respect, one of the elders, and you will ask for help. But over here, it's left, indeed, that we might have so-called love matches in the West. That's what they call them in the East. And it's a very, very serious choice. And very often, you know, parents are the last to be consulted. And so older advice is not sought, and we make choices on the wrong principles. Please get that right. Please get it right. And then I come to a position where I've come to the end of education and I'm looking for a job. That's going to be so important. Because of what? Because of, well, choose the right job and fine. There's plenty of opportunity for the Lord's work to come in. There are indeed opportunities for moving here and there. But if I take the wrong choice, here I am dedicated to work. Yes, I'm doing it as unto the Lord as we should. But I'm bound by long hours and commitments that indeed hold me back from the assembly and its activities. Hold me back from family activities, etc. So there's a whole range of choices, even coming down to the simple one of where should I live? Where should I live? These are great things. These are serious matters. These are serious matters. Now then, we started off yesterday and touched on this idea of planning for God. And came down to one example to begin with of the Apostle Paul planning for God, working for God. And if we turn once again, please, to Acts chapter 16, we can move on from there. And there are three cities I want you to have in mind. Three cities that the Apostle Paul had in mind to go to serve God, one way and another, for one purpose or another. The first one we come to here was Ephesus. The Apostle Paul had in mind to go to Ephesus, a very strategic place, a good place. And the good works that he would have in mind for the gospel would inevitably come down to the use of the right place, to have the right base for the gospel. Ephesus, wonderful place. Here it was in the province of Asia, the Roman province of Asia, as we would say today, Western Turkey. And there, a seaport, Ephesus, well positioned, well connected by sea and by land, in very important trade routes, would go through this place. What a great place to go. And Paul says that would be a good place to go. And it was on his mind. Then the question is, now, yes, that's fine, Paul. But you see, God was closing doors to Ephesus. God's first door was Asia itself, the very province. And then he would seek to bypass a little because God had closed the door and he would go to Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered him not there. And inevitably, having bypassed the whole lot, he came to Troas. And here's Ephesus down here. Here's Asia down here. He's gone past it all. And here now, looking for God's leading. Looking for God's leading. And the God who closes doors for our good, to lead us in the right direction, to stop us going in the wrong direction, if we leave it with him and don't press in, seek to press down and push the door open, don't force things. Don't force things. Just wait God's time. For the Apostle Paul, as we said yesterday then, two things. Number one, with regard to Asia and Ephesus, what he was being told actually was, not yet. And then when it became, indeed, this subject of Bithynia and all the opportunities there, the answer was, not you. And later we'll find in 1 Peter, that's the position there, that there were believers to go there, but someone else at some other time. And so the Apostle Paul, the door opens now, being patient, looking for the Lord and his leading. He gets to Troas and the door is open to go over into Macedonia. And now we can think of Macedonia and all the places. Number one, there was Philippi. And then coming round, you'll think as well of this place, Thessalonica. And that's in my mind next. Thessalonica. The Apostle Paul was there. It couldn't have been too long. It could have been, maybe it couldn't have been more than months. But there was wonderful gospel blessing. There was great opportunity. And they certainly there turned to God from idols. And they turned from God to idols in order to serve the living and the true God. From the very beginning, there was a commitment to the things of God. There was an expectedness for the Son of God. They were looking, expecting his Son from heaven. So everything went so well. And the Apostle Paul, once again, almost inevitably, you know, the Apostle Paul, when he came to the end of a work, he'd either have to leave because he was thrown out or threatened. Very rarely did he ever leave of his own choice. For instance, Corinth he did, but that was unusual. And it became the inevitable thing that Paul was thrown out. And he came indeed to leave. And you know the circumstances as well as I do. He had to leave. And he went on to Berea. Then there was trouble there, moved on. And eventually, he finds himself in a city of refuge. He's down there at Athens. He's been taken down. There's safety there for the moment. And he's to move on later. But then, eventually he's caught up with by Timothy and Silas. They come down. As we read there, indeed as we could read in 1 Thessalonians, there the Apostle Paul sends. He sends young Timothy back to find out how things are going up there at Thessalonica. And the answer was, not easy. You're doing fairly well, but questions have arisen. Problems have been seen. Believers have died. And in the meantime, the question is, here's the Apostle Paul, who started off so well and no doubt had a program of teaching. But that was curtailed. And the kind of things he was almost ready to tell them about suddenly became a problem. Someone had died. Are they going to lose out at the Lord's coming? They're alive. And the questions that would be there. And all these questions came back to Paul from Timothy. And Paul, first of all, thought, now, I must get back to them. I must make every effort to get back. And so he did. And that's what you've got there in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Being taken from you for a short time in presence. Mr. Darby, he says, being bereaved of you. That's how Paul felt about it. There was such a deep feeling in his heart. He would do everything possible to get back to Thessalonica. He'd been expelled. And yet he couldn't get back. Well, he says, but I'll make an effort. In fact, he made two efforts. He did his very, very best. He planned right to the last minute. Says, yes, short time in presence, not in heart. We were always there. We were bereaved of you. We wanted to get back. We endeavored the more abundantly. Couldn't have tried better. He did his very best. He was almost on point of paying for the ticket, shall we say. And we stopped to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. But Satan hindered us. Ah, look, you'll say. Paul made plans, good plans, for the right purpose. Surely, to help the people of God with problems can only be good. Surely, getting there can only be for their benefit. Surely, God would be glorified if I arrived back in Thessalonica and helped those saints who had done so well so far and now were bewildered as to this and other questions concerning the Lord's coming and concerning other things as well about the future. Well, they would say, yes, surely that's a good thing. And suddenly it came to that. And then Paul became aware that the Spirit, Acts 16, the Spirit suffered them not. He became aware God was involved. But it's not the Spirit now, but it's Satan. And Paul, spiritually sensitive to these things, once again knew it was not him. He'd planned best. He'd done all he could. It wasn't the Spirit now, but Satan. Something gone wrong? Is it an accident here? Are there difficulties? What's gone wrong? Satan hindered us. The word hindered apparently has the idea of almost digging a hole in the road. Making progress, stopping it. You can't just get past. You just can't do it. Satan did it. Paul was aware of that. So you say, well, Satan's won. Everything's ruined. Paul's plans have come to nothing. Think about it, please. Think about it. What if? What if Paul had got back to Thessalonica? Yes, he would have answered all their questions. And if he had done that, you and I would have been deprived of two of the most useful books in the New Testament. And you see, you think it out now. Those questions they had are inevitably, in time, the questions we have about the Lord's coming. And about prophecy and how all the dispensations fit in, and what about these things in the day of the Lord, etc. And the Apostle Paul, in writing these two epistles, because he couldn't get back himself. You and I are now in the good of this. So the God who allowed, permissively, Satan to hinder him, allowed Satan to overstep the mark himself. And in the long run, of course in the long run, by the way, in chapter 3, verse 11, the Apostle Paul, our brother, was talking about Paul's prayers. And here was one. Chapter 3, verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Satan has hindered our way. But it's all in the will of God, the permissive will of God. So what we're going to do is leave it with him. We leave God to direct. And we leave it there. We won't press forward. Oh no, once we're aware of the fact, we'll just leave it with him. Now we know that inevitably, when the Apostle Paul, sometime in the future, had been released from prison in Rome, he actually got back. You remember, he went to Ephesus. Such was the pressing nature of time that he leaves Timothy and he goes on himself to Macedonia. Where's Macedonia? That's where Thessalonica is. So he did get back. But not for the moment. But you see now, just leave it with God. In the long run, he knows best. And the Satan indeed, who was allowed to hinder, will not halt the work of God. He'll not halt it. They did get the letters. Their questions were answered. You and I have been in the benefit of that as well. So all is well. All is well. So don't worry. If God allows Satan to hinder, don't be too concerned. Don't be too concerned. Just leave it with him. God direct a way unto you. Never mind Satan anymore. It's in the hands of the Lord. And it's in the best place. So that's Thessalonica. But we're not finished yet. For the Apostle Paul, indeed, eventually, what we said about Ephesus. And we said that, yes, he did get back, and so he did. And you'll find, for instance, in chapter 18. So, we've got Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens. Apostle Paul crosses over from Athens to Corinth. He was there for 18 months and saw much gospel activity. And the Lord had told him personally that I have much people in this city. And so he did, and there was a good assembly formed. I know problems came. But to begin with, things had gone so well. So much so, that after 18 months, the apostle said, okay, I can move on now. And his plan there, according to chapter 18, and verse number 18, was to sail to Syria, and to move on from there, to Antioch in mind. His commending assembly, etc. So it says there in verse number 19, he came to Ephesus. But there's still a problem. There's still a problem. Because there it says, verse 20, when he went into the synagogue, reasoned with the Jews, when they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return unto you again, if God will. Ah, there's the principle worked out. The principle, if the Lord will. Then you do your planning. In the light of that. Looking for God's will. And the Apostle Paul here felt there was a will of God. And for the moment, it was down there at Jerusalem for the feast. And it was his commending assembly, Antioch. And so, yes, that's where he would go. But there was an opening here. And you might say, well, wouldn't he feel frustrated? He'd seen a little blessing here in Ephesus. Should he stay? No, he felt the plan was otherwise, because he understood, if he was to get back, if God wills, that's all right. You see, he's got his plans. But he prefaces them all with this, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. However, the time came when we get at the end of beginning of chapter 19, that he did get to Rome, Jerusalem. He's on his way back. He goes through Turkey again, retracing the steps that he took initially. And coming through, those doors were closed to him. Now he's coming through Turkey again, retracing his steps. He's coming down. And chapter 19, verse 1, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, retracing his original steps where the doors were closed, he came to Ephesus. He came to Ephesus. And he was there long enough, 3 fruitful years, so that, look at verse 10, or chapter 19. And this continued by the space of 2 years. That's the special meetings there in the school of Tyrannus. So that all they which dwelt in Asia, notice, all they which dwelt in Asia, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Yes, that's what Paul wanted anyway to begin with. That was in his mind, Jews and Greeks, all Asia. How strategic it was, how important to get to Ephesus, the center of it all. And now it's happened, 3-4 years later. He's been patient. God has allowed this thing to come about. It was the will of God, but not according to what Paul had liked to begin with, timing-wise. Place was right, time was wrong. God's purposes worked themselves out. And so the Apostle Paul now sees much blessing. Even the opposition said so. Look at verse 26. Moreover, we see and hear, they say, that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, that Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people. Amazing, isn't it? You see, the will of God is such, if we plan with God in mind, prefacing everything with the will of God, looking for his purposes and openings, and when we see closings, well, don't be over concerned. Just be patient. If God has given you that vision, that's fine. But be patient. Maybe there's someone here. You've got something, some place in mind, and you feel God wants you to go there. Just wait his time. Don't push the door open. Just wait for God to open it for you. And the Apostle Paul, eventually all was well. And it was all Asia, both Jews and Greeks. No problem at all. It turned out to be exactly what Paul had thought, a strategic place for the gospel. And Ephesus was such a good gospel center with easy access to the rest of the province. And indeed, such wonderful things. And here indeed is Epaphras. Right up there from the hill country, probably saved here in Ephesus, and taking the gospel so that initially, directly and indirectly, the gospel got out to all these places. And the Apostle Paul saw much blessing. But there's one other place, and we want to think about this. And if we look at, for instance, there in chapter 19 of Acts and verse 21, after these were ended, Paul purposed in spirit that when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. So here's this third city. The first we had in mind was Ephesus. It turned out to be the right place, yes, and a very important place. And the Apostle Paul had got the right place, but he had to be patient because God's time was later. There was other work to do first in another place where there were other important places and people to meet. That was fine. Then we came to Thessalonica. Thessalonica, there was a need. And Paul felt that his presence had to be there because he could answer the questions face to face. But God's purpose was that there was another way. And God allowed, the God who allowed Satan to interfere with the life of Job for good, is the same God who allowed Satan to interfere with the progress of Paul with regard to getting back to Thessalonica. And God allowed this to happen. He allowed it. And so we find indeed that eventually Satan overdid it. And you and I have come into the good of the fact that Satan hindered. All is in the hands of God. It's all right. Don't get over concerned. If a door is closed, it's all in the will of God. If the Spirit closes the door, even if Satan is allowed to close the door, just be patient. Just be patient. And think through, what has God in mind here? And the Apostle Paul, in writing the 2 letters, in lieu of going himself, saw long-term blessing. And you and I can look back with hindsight And you know, if you've been in the work of God and going, seeking to do the will of God, you can always look back and see how God was there. God did not make a mistake. And indeed, the gospel was triumphant. Now we're thinking about Rome, please, and turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Here's the Apostle Paul, and he's in Corinth, or thereabouts, and he's writing to Rome and telling them his thoughts about going there. And you'll read, first of all, with me, please, verse 11. No, verse number 9. Romans 1 and 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you, for I long to see you. And then please down to verse 15. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And then back to verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was hindered, that's the word, hitherto. I was hindered. The question now comes, what hindered him? The Spirit? Satan? Well, let's have a look at chapter 15, please. Chapter 15. And verse number, halfway through verse 19. So that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, we would say today Croatia, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So the context is busy gospel work. I have fully preached a comprehensive gospel program in all the places he was. Fully preach the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel. So there's a lot of effort going on. Not where Christ is named. So he is a pioneer work. He were looking for openings where the gospel hadn't been before. And he says, lest I should build on another man's foundation. Then verse 22. For which cause I have been much hindered. So the hindrance here, what's the cause of the hindrance, Paul? And the answer is a lot of gospel activity. A lot of gospel activity. And so the Apostle Paul now had found so many open doors. Although he'd wanted to get to Rome so long, so many years, for good purpose, he knew there was work to be done at Rome. Not for a long time, because it couldn't be a lot of gospel work. That's not how he worked. Inevitably, in mind, was Spain. And yet, on the way to Spain, there was work to be done in Rome. He could see that. Work to be done for the gospel, Romans chapter 1. Work to be done with regard to helping the saints. That's chapter 14 and 15. Because the Apostle Paul, with his Orthodox Jewish background, was very sensitive to the fact that there were Jewish believers in Rome with the same kind of background as him. And they were in conflict and tension and the trouble between them and the kind of Gentile believers who were saved indeed, who turned to God from idols. And indeed there was no bag and baggage with them. It was all new and all things were of God. But there was that inevitable tension, and Paul knew that. And he wanted to be there. He wanted to help out to try to relieve the tension between Jew and Gentile believers. So yes, a good purpose to be in Rome. Gospel, yes. And the Lord had said, you'll preach the gospel, by the way. The Lord Jesus himself had said, you'll preach the gospel in Rome. And yet we come to this situation now. And what's the answer? He's been too busy in the gospel. Too busy in the gospel. For which cause I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place, that is, doors to be opened for the gospel in these parts, because he's been through all those doors, he's done that much gospel activity, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. I'll come to you. But of course, what about the will of God? Now there are difficulties. Now, quickly, please, for the sake of time, verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of God, for love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God. Once again, the principle is worked out. Once again, the apostle wanted to go to a certain place for good purpose, but it's all according to the will of God. He knew now that there were difficulties. He knew now it was possible, humanly speaking, for people to interfere. So it wasn't the Spirit now. It wasn't Satan. But it was his fellow countrymen. Verse 31, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. So here they were, unbelievers. And humanly speaking, it could have been. And indeed the Apostle Paul, remember, he did get to Jerusalem. Now there's in between this, there's Jerusalem for the delivery of the collection for the poor saints. And the Apostle Paul was there, remember. And because of it, due to a misunderstanding, there at the temple, he was almost torn to pieces by people. He was rescued by Roman soldiers. And, prayers were answered. He was to be delivered. But not, that's another story, but not under the circumstances originally had in mind. But he did get to Rome. He was delivered from them that do not believe. But in being delivered from them that do not believe, God used a Roman arrest. And inevitably then, Paul was led up to Caesarea. 2 years, nothing's happening. And then eventually, the Apostle Paul appeals to Caesar. And he does get to Rome, but under very different circumstances than were his original thoughts, no doubt. But he did. You see, it all worked out in the end. And inevitably, by the way, there was gospel blessing. That was, we've had before, Philippians 1. That was read to us. So there was gospel blessing. There was help for the saints as well. And the saints indeed who were there. The saints who had gone quiet about the gospel. Brother Tom read this. That indeed there was a great encouragement for this. There was indeed the saints were they grew in confidence in the Lord because of Paul's behavior there in prison. So there was blessing for the saints. But the will of God. Three cities in the purposes and plans of Paul. God so overruled that he did get there. But you see, go back now to where we started. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. You will notice in the second list, in the first list we looked at, there James went through step by step, this businessman plotting his future. But that was set aside. He brought the new list in. If the Lord will, shall live and do this, do that. It's a very shortened list. You see, you've left it with God. He'll fill the details in. Yes, you have the vision in your mind to go to a certain place and do a certain thing. Just leave it with the Lord as to timing and circumstances. It'll work itself out. And yet, just leave it to him. If the Lord will. How important that is. Put it at the beginning and leave it with him for his glory and in his will.